Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Well, I pray that each of you are well, those who, the mandated few that are allowed to be here, as well as those who are watching from home. Pray that you are well, that you are doing good. It's obviously a difficult reality that we are so distant from each other this Sunday of our Lord's resurrection. We know that there are those who are sick, whether they have COVID-19 or not. We know that there are those who are sick in their body, but we also know that there are many, perhaps even more, who also are emotionally disturbed or sick during this great time of isolation. So I pray God's peace and comfort to you this most holy and special day of our church year, the resurrection of our Lord. Today is usually the exception to the rule of staying away from church. Usually this is the day where the churches are packed or at least a little bit more full than usual. It's something that perhaps we've come to expect, maybe even to look forward to. And so it seems that this year is going to be quite a letdown. Maybe this is the worst Easter yet. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, this is the best Easter yet. Now, I hope to win you over. You may not think that right now. You may not feel that right now. But this is the best Easter yet. But before I get into why that is, I'd like to begin this Easter sermon in a place similar to where our gospel begins, in a cemetery. Just outside my subdivision is this little cemetery called Fink Cemetery. And just around the outer edge there is a placard, probably for historical reasons, but probably also to mark the oddity of its location. Nowadays, it's passed by people going to and from work, and as they go to pick up groceries, and for myself and our family, it's right there as we enter our subdivision and right as we leave. And on that placard, on that sign that stands there, it reads these words, at least in part. During the cholera epidemics of 1849 and 1854, people died so quickly that coffins could not be provided. The dead were collected on wagons and buried at night in mass graves on the south and east sides of the cemetery. That little cemetery seems to hold, now more than ever, a larger significance. Beyond its meager headstones and being an all but forgotten place of death, it is a place where one epidemic seemingly nods to a pandemic in our own time. Now, gratefully, I have not heard of any mass graves that are being built in our country for the burial of our dead, and for that I am most especially grateful. What I have heard and what I have seen is how the epidemics of old have stirred up in many the fear of what might be our reality, and ultimately the fear of what cemeteries hold, the dead. To put this in perspective, all pastors go through this thing called vicarage, this year-long pastoral internship. My placement was at the longest and continuously run vicarage in our synod. I was vicar number 43, got a shirt for it, number on the back. And as I recall, they've surpassed now their 50th vicar to this day. But during my year, we had around 15 deaths or more or so from a congregation of around 200 people. Whatever the actual number was, it was a significant increase than the year previous. And so I saw my fair share of funerals and graveside committals. It was always the graveside committals that really solidified the somber moment of death. There, family and friends witnessed the lowering of their loved one into the earth under the shade of a shabby tent and the backdrop of 100 headstones. It's a gloomy gathering of weeping and goodbyes. But what pierces the darkness of that day and destroys the grip of death in that moment is and always is Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord. So many times I have heard those words being spoken and even spoken them myself that St. Paul pens, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." Maybe you've heard that spoken at gravesides quite often. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." And it ends this way: "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Can you imagine that first Easter dawn, that Sunday morning, that first Easter as the women went to the tomb? There it was, the sound and might of a great earthquake, as a sound of 1,000 trumpets blaring. And there was the angel of the Lord with the glow of lightning that surrounded him and his clothes as white as snow itself. There was at one moment the obvious victory of the guards who stood watch over Jesus' grave. And then in the next moment, everything changes. In the next moment, there they are, frozen in the fear of the Lord, standing stiff as dead men, says the gospel, in the sight and in the sound of that angel. And to the women came the voice of the angel, speaking in the tone of true victory. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus. He is not here, for he has arisen." And I love this part: "as he said." There in that little cemetery, Jesus was supposed to be dead. But now his headstone is rolled back to behold a great and wonderful mystery. He's not there. Something has changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Christ is risen. And that is why this is the best Easter yet. Because Jesus is still risen. Jesus is still risen from the dead. Your sins are still crucified to that cross, and you are still forgiven in the risen Christ, our Savior. And in holy baptism, you still live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today is the best Easter, because the promise of Easter's joy is yours today as ever before. The end of our Lenten quarantine comes in this very resurrection of Jesus. Even that word quarantine, maybe you can kind of hear it, has as its origin the number 40. Just as our 40-day Lenten pilgrimage that ends today in the resurrection of Jesus. The 40 days have passed us by, the time of fasting is finished, and so are all of your sins. This is the best Easter yet. This is the best Easter because Jesus still lives today, and you also live in the resurrected Lord. Today, as every Easter before, marks the hour of your redemption. The quarantine that overshadows our daily life is incomparable to the quarantine that Jesus breaks, that Jesus ends and ends forever. For you, Jesus is risen, and nothing, nothing shall keep you from the love of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. You can't cancel Easter. It's too late. It's already happened. It's already our true and best reality. No takebacks. Jesus has already exhaled his last breath upon the cross and inhaled his first breath in the resurrection. And that's what you have today also. More than any day before, you have in Christ exhaled your last breath and inhaled a life reborn anew in the same Jesus Christ. Listen to the angel of the Lord. Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus. To this very moment, so much uncertainty surrounds us. But what is certain and what is true is that in an ever-changing world, there is in the midst of her, there is in the midst of it, the consistent Christ who is ever present for you and with you, abiding with his church in every moment, in every time, and in every place. The Jesus you seek is the same Lord who has already found you, died for you, and lives for you. It may feel like that at times he's not here, but behold, Christ is risen, and risen for you. And that's why this is the best Easter yet. For many of us, the Easter story is told with such great frequency that we don't consider how odd a thing it is that the women are invited into the tomb to see where Jesus lay. It's kind of an odd thing. Come, see the place where he lay, says the angel. Such an awful place for most of us. And when it's you, it's the worst place in the world. Maybe like me, you've shared too many reunions with family and friends around a graveside. Peering into that hole of death, the shiny casket and the flowers there, they don't blunt the sharp pain that this is the place where the body will lie, covered up with dirt by men with backhoes and shovels. Everything, everything about that place where we ourselves will one day lay is a terrible tragedy. And that too is why this is the best Easter yet. Whether we are with or without our friends and family this time of the year and this day, whether we are sick or dying or feeling quite well, this is the best Easter yet. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And so today, we are one moment closer to being gathered into the company of heaven for all eternity. Jesus has, in his resurrection, made your resurrection possible, and even better yet, certain. But until that day, we race with the speed of those faithful women. We race as the very bride of Christ into every day, with the fearful wonder and the great joy of Easter. We listen to the ones the disciples taught from generation to the next generation to be our pastors. We come and take hold of Jesus and worship him from word and sacrament. So go unafraid into today. Go unafraid into today, the best Easter yet. knowing that this is the day that you will see Jesus. Because even though it seems like he's not here, he is here. He is risen. He is risen for you, so that you will be raised today in spirit and on the last day and forevermore. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen.